The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, we've been talking, started a series last week about faith and family, talked about husbands and wife relationships. This is all about relationship. And today we're going to be talking about children relationship with their parents. And then we're going to talk about parent relationship with children. So I'm going to step on a lot of toes this morning as we get started with this message. I'm not going to discriminate. I'm going to step on everybody's toes. I started last week, so I want to make sure that I get everybody in here. Children, it says, obey your parents in all things. We're looking at Colossians chapter 3. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing with the Lord. Be obedient. Now, of course, I'm talking the children that are in here. I wouldn't refer to them as children. But those who are in here are teenagers, most for the most part, that would respond to this. So I just want you to understand the importance of being obedient to your parents. I know that obedience sometimes is a hard thing. It always is. We are rebellious people. We are rebellious from the time we are old enough to look at our parents and say no, and probably long before that. Amen? Because it's just part of who we are. That's part of the fall, part of the sin nature. So it's something we have to work on. It's something we have to teach. You don't teach your children to be bad. That's natural. That comes natural. We have to teach our children to be good. We have to teach our children to respond to the Word of God. That's why we have the Word of God, is so that we can know what is good and what is right, what is proper according to God's will. Amen. So church is an awesome part of that. Bringing your kids to church, getting them involved in children's church when they're younger. Listen, the children's church around here is not just fun and games. Children's church equips our children. They're being taught the Word of God. It's so very important. I grew up a church that had Sunday school, and I learned so much from the Sunday school teachers. They taught us the Word of God, and I was thankful for that. And I got to tell you, not all churches are doing that. They're not teaching the Word of God. In fact, we're finding that many of our children do not know the basic Bible stories and principles because they're not being taught in their church services any longer. So I'm really thankful for that. Growing up, I knew things about the Bible. I was taught Bible stories. My parents did a great job of reinforcing that in the home. And, you know, I was amazed when Tammy and I started dating. And, by the time we started really getting serious about the Bible, and I'd share things with her. We would lay in bed at night and read the Bible. This was before we received Christ, and read the Bible, and I would cry because I just knew that, you know, I didn't have my heart right with the Lord. And we would talk about the Bible, and I'd share things that I knew about the Bible, and she was just amazed. She said, "How'd you learn this stuff?" Well, I had a good church. She went to church, but she didn't learn the same kind of things that I did. So I just want you to understand how important it is to instill these values in our children at a young age. Don't just do it. Now, I'm going to talk more about this as we go, so I'm going to stop right there. But I do want to say that it is so very, very important. I just read a little thing about a father who was telling his son to get ready for Sunday school, and they were preparing to go to Sunday school, and the son was kind of rebelling a little bit. He didn't really want to go, and he looked at his dad, and he said, "Dad, did you go to Sunday school when you were my age?" And the dad just kind of puffed up and said, "I sure did." And the son looked at him and said, "I bet it won't help me either." Whew. Bad news. That hurts. Yeah. Well, I can tell you it will help you. Amen. It does make a difference. It's good. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is so important. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This is a commandment with a promise that is so important to all of us. So teenagers, as I speak to you this morning, do not be rebellious. Don't make your children get your attention. You know, I have a goat at home, a male goat. And anybody knows anything about goats, but man, they are stubborn animals. But I found the way to control that goat. I got a dog training collar, and I put on that booger. Yeah, I'm telling you, when I say get out of there, he gets out of there. Or he finds out exactly what I mean when I say get out of there. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know how many volts this thing puts out, but in order to get his attention, I have to crank it clear up to 100. That's maximum. But I can tell you, I get his attention. And it's funny because when I zap that thing, he jumps around. He looks. He wonders where that thing's coming from. He has no idea that I'm the culprit. But he listens. Teenagers, don't make your parents get your attention. I want you to understand how important it is just to be obedient to them. Hear what they have to say. Respect them. In the Old Testament, if you were not obedient to your parents, you know what they did to you? They took you to the elders of the community, and they told them that you were being disobedient. Now, you talk about corporal punishment. This is corporal punishment. And then you were stoned in front of the whole congregation. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, one act of rebellion. This was somebody that was totally out of control, rebellious, and that's how they handled it. But I can tell you this, in our society today, there would be a lot of pile rocks all over the place. Children would be under piles of rocks if we instituted that kind of law. Now, I'm not a proponent of that. Please don't misunderstand me. I love all of you, and I don't think that God expects us to be harsh like that. But let me share it with you, Proverbs 30:11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation, and that generation is now. Curses its mother, does not bless its father. Does not bless its mother, it curses its father. Don't be a part of that generation. Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. Curse. This is a biblical curse that will come upon you, come upon all of us, if we do not treat our fathers and our mothers properly. Now, I could tell you how important this is as a grown adult. It's important that I treat my mother. I no longer have a father on this earth, but I treat my mother with respect and love her and do everything I can for her. She's getting up in years, and I have a responsibility to take care of her and not put her off in some home someplace. And I'm saying this in front of you so that you can all hold me responsible for that. Because I know she doesn't want to go anyplace. She wants to live her life in her home. That's honoring your father and mother. We have this responsibility. Now, I understand some of you have situations where they have to be cared for 24 hours a day, and you can't do it. I understand that. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of encouragement to you. Love your family. Love your mother. Love your father. Amen. Now, I say this to you teenagers about the commandment with a promise, because it gives you long life according to the Word of God. And I tell you this because as a teenager, I was rebellious and I didn't always treat my parents the way that I should, and I regret that. I look back on it now. There's no condemnation in Christ. I've been forgiven, but I still regret it. I wish that I hadn't acted that way. That's beyond. That's behind me now, and we move on. But let me share some things with you. National Study of Youth and Religion, funded by the Lilly Foundation, found that teenagers who are raised in Christian homes have more more traditional attitudes towards sex, and their values overall are stronger than non-religious peers. They're better off. Now listen closely to this. This is very important because we have a society that is breaking down. We have children that are emotionally distraught, so much so that some of them are taking guns and killing their peers and others. You know, that's bad news. We have young people who are emotionally distraught to the place that they don't even know what gender they are. We have issues. And according to this study, children who are raised in Christian homes, they have better emotional health. They do better in school. Academically, they do better. They are more involved in their community. They help. They're concerned for others. Their trust of adults and their avoidance of risky behavior is much, much higher because we are instilling within them biblical principles that give them a strong moral basis for their whole life. Thank God for you parents who are here today. Thank God for parents all over this community that's taking their children to church to hear the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. But it also found this, the same study, that the teen's knowledge of the Bible is very shallow. I hope that's not the case here. Don't allow it to be. Study your Word, teenagers. Get in the Word of God. Read it. It's an exciting thing. There's some crazy stories in there that you need to read about. Some good things. The direction that God wants for your lives. Get in a Bible study. Start a Bible study. Amen. Come to Wednesday night meeting with Siva. Amen. She has an awesome Bible study. Come and be a part. Learn and grow in the Word of God. Here's some information about distorted teen beliefs. 86% of teens claim that they are Christian. 34% say they're born again. 3 out of 5 say they believe the Bible is totally accurate in all its teachings. However, they embrace views that are inconsistent with the Bible. A new Barna survey says that 2/3 stated that Satan is not a living being, merely a symbol of evil, and 60% argued that a good person could earn eternal salvation through good deeds. I can tell you, both of those things are wrong biblically. The Bible teaches a real enemy, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. He goes by many names, but he's your enemy, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't allow the world to lie to you and tell you that you do not have a spiritual enemy. You do, and he's trying to kill you, he's trying to destroy you, and he's trying to lie to you. He's the father of lies, and he will lie to you and tell you he doesn't care whether you think he exists or not. All he cares about is that you do his bidding. He hates you. And you must understand that salvation comes through one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't leave room for Muhammad, for Buddha, for Krishna, for any of these other figures. He didn't leave room for any other religion, any other belief system. but to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the door, I'm the gate. He made it perfectly clear. He's the only way to the Father. And you're not good enough, and you'll never be good enough except by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Teens, don't let yourself be deceived. It's imperative that you know the truth, because only complete and total truth from the Word of God can set you free. Here's some more troubling teen statistics. 20 teens attempt to end their lives every 30 minutes. 685 teens become drug users every 30 minutes. 23 teen girls have abortion every 30 minutes. 3 million American teenagers have been treated for alcoholism since 1980. 9,000 teenagers are killed each year while driving drunk. Now, these statistics are several years old, about 7 years old. I can imagine what they are right now. You know, we got to put a stop to this. The kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, we can walk with the power of God to set our teens free. We can see, and you teenagers, you can walk with God's power in your life to set other teens free. The power of the Lord is with you. He's in you, and He will go before you. All you have to do is boldly proclaim the truth of the Word of God. Esther was a teenager, most likely, when she became the queen of Persia. And her cousin Mordecai said to her, it could be that God has called you for such a time as this. And it was obvious when you read the whole story, she was placed there for such a time that she lived in. Today, God is calling teen girls, teen women, to rise up for such a time as this. David was a young man, most likely a teenager, when he was confronted by Goliath the giant. And instead of running and hiding like all the other mighty warriors that Saul had, David stood and looked at that Philistine and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the army of the living God? Woo! It was a teenager that had boldness and strength and power because he knew his God. He spent time with his God in the wilderness. And he prayed and he sought God and he knew the Word of God. And when it came time, he rose up and he went out against that Philistine and he said, I'm going to cut your head off. And he didn't even have a sword. But he knew the power of his God. He took that giant down with a stone right between the eyes. And then he took the giant's own sword and he cut his head off. It's time, teenagers, for you to rise up against the giants in our society. Stand against them. Take them down with whatever weapon God has given you. And then take their own weapons and cut their head off. God is on your side. God is with you. Amen. Glory. I thought you'd get more excited about that. Gee. David. We have Esther's and David sitting right here in this place this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. David relied on the Word of God so much that he wrote in Psalms chapter 119, verse 11, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You want to know how to combat these things that we were talking about, wrong beliefs? Hide the Word of God in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Parents, let's talk about parenting. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, it's talking specifically to fathers, but I'm going to turn it just a little bit and talk to parents. I want you to understand what the Word of God says in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a promise. Now, Let me make something perfectly clear according to this scripture. That does not mean that they will not do wrong, they will not make mistakes, they will not turn from the truth that you have taught them. But it does mean that you have done your job. You have taught them, you have trained them, and you have instilled within them the truth. And they'll not depart very far from that truth without it convicting them of the wrong that they're doing. That's what the scripture is telling us. Hallelujah. And yes, does that mean that many of them will come running back to the faith that you had? I can tell you this. As a teenager, I left my the faith of my mom and dad. I left the God of my mom and dad. But as a young man, as I started getting older, I always knew, even as a teenager, I knew what was right and what was wrong because of the values that was instilled within me. And then I decided, as I started reading this Bible again for myself, I decided that their God was the God that I wanted in my life. Amen. Amen. That's what He wants. Hallelujah. Train up a child in the way he should go. Listen, let's talk about family time. Meals are very... Now, this is really difficult in our society because I know we're running here and there. Kids are in all kinds of things, sports and activities, extracurricular activities at school, in band, all kinds of things. Kids are running all over the place. You have to take kids here, there. Things are going on. Families are busy. Most households have two working parents. It's tough. So I realize that it's hard sometimes to have meals together. But I want you to understand the importance of sitting down with your children, praying over your meal, talking to them, instilling your values, the biblical values in their life. Kids who dine with their folks are healthier, happier, and they're better students, according to a survey of the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. It's very important that we take some time with our children, and sitting down at meals is a way to do that. Children who eat meals most often with their parents are 40% more likely to get mainly A's and B's in school over their peers who do not spend time with their parents. A survey by the National Study of Youth and Religion at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill found that 12 to 14 children ages 12 to 14 reared in religious households are more likely than their peers from non-religious families to admire their parents, their mother, and their father. Wow, there's a good one right there. Mothers and fathers, for you to spend some time with your children at meals, they're more likely to admire you, admire your values. In fact, it goes on to say that they're more likely not to run away from home, less likely to get involved with substance abuse. 70% of religious youth wanted to be like their parents. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? That's how important this is. Biblical training in the household sets children on the right path. Proverbs 29:15. Let's talk a little bit about discipline. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Man, have I seen this in society. Every time you go to Walmart, doctor's office, someplace in your community, you see children who are bringing their parents to shame. And I'm talking about children who are out of control, screaming and yelling because they didn't get their way. Now, that didn't just start that day in that store. That's a behavior that started a long time ago. Started in the household, and they allowed it to continue and continue and continue. It's tough. Now, every child is going to throw a fit from time to time. I realize that. But you can tell the ones that have been able to manipulate and control their parents through throwing a fit. they're out of control. God does not want your children to be out of control. You have a responsibility to teach them proper discipline. The rod and the staff, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. But a child left to himself shall bring his mother to shame. Listen, I believe in spanking. I believe there's a particular age where spanking is very appropriate. But it's not the only kind of discipline. These days, there's all kinds of things that you can do to your, with your children to give them, to discipline them. Take their phone away from them. Take their iPad away from them. Take the television away from them. Take something away from them that they desire greatly. And I can tell you, it works. Don't stray far from the rod, though, because you need it sometimes. It reinforces these other disciplines. But use some kind of discipline. Mothers, love your children enough to discipline them properly. I love my mother, but my mother was a strong disciplinarian in our household. She knew how to discipline. And I wore some stripes because of it. But it was appropriate. Today, it would probably be considered inappropriate. But I don't care. I thank God that I was disciplined properly. I hate Hot Wheels tracks to this day. Who knew they would make the best switch in the world? I don't allow Hot Wheels tracks in my house. Man, I'm telling you, they work. And my mom knew how to use it. Thank God. I'm thankful for that. It's awesome. Mothers, you have a huge responsibility. Help to form and shape your children into productive members of our society. Love them. Care for them. Do everything you can to instill God's values in them. G. Morgan Campbell was a profound British preacher who had four sons. They all grew up to be pastors and preachers. And one day his youngest son was preaching in a particular chapel. And when he was done, there was a newspaper reporter who came up to him and said, son, I understand that your whole family, your dad and your three brothers and yourself, you're all preachers. Let me ask you this. Which one of you is the best preacher? Now, the reporter was expecting him to give his dad the honor. And without hesitating, he said, why, of course, my mother was the best preacher in our house. What an honor. I'm sure it wasn't always by words. Many people today preach the gospel, and sometimes we use words, but we don't always. We just preach it by our lifestyle. I thank God for a mother whose lifestyle was just like that. She set an example for me, for my brothers, for our family. Many people do not realize the impact that a mother is having on them until years later. But mothers, teach and discipline are far, teaching and proper discipline are far more influential on your children than anything else in their life, coupled with the Word of God. Parents, always be willing to follow through with the things that you threaten. Don't threaten anything that you're not willing to follow through with. It's very important. We learned this a long, long time ago. Our daughter, Jessica, who's our oldest, and one day she did something while we were out in public, and I said, all right, you're going to be disciplined when you get home. When we got home, she had a particular friend that lived right beside of us at the time, and she loved to go outside and play with that friend. So I said, okay, here's your choice. You can either take a spanking, or you can stay inside and not play with your friend. And I expected her not to want to go outside and play with her friend. She chose the spanking. probably one of the hardest spankings I ever gave one of my children. And that was very wise on her part, by the way, because you know what? She probably got by with a lot less spanking. But I did follow through, and I did spank her. And she went off and had a great time playing with her friend. And I was tore up. But it's really important to follow through. William Ross Wallace, in a poem, said back in 1865, he said this to mothers, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." That's the importance that we have, you have, as mothers. Mother, preach to your children often. And like St. Francis of Assisi said, when necessary, use words. All right, fathers, like I said, I'm not leaving anybody without getting their toes stepped on a little bit this morning. So let's talk about fathers. What kind of an impression are you making on your children? The scripture says, do not provoke them lest they become discouraged. The implication here is that you're being too harsh. You know, you can be too harsh with your children. Expect way too much out of them. They're just kids. Give them some slack. Believe it or not, they're going to spill things at the table. They're going to spill things in the car that you spent hours cleaning up. They're going to do things. They're going to break things in the house. That kind of stuff is going to happen. Give them some grace. Cut them some slack. And yes, discipline them when necessary. But do not be too harsh. Your job is to properly discipline your children while you motivate, encourage them to do their very best all the time. There's an old Jewish proverb. It says, pull your children close to you with your right hand and push them away with your left. What it's saying is, try to find that balance between loving them and embracing them and disciplining them properly all at the same time. You can find that. You have the mind of Christ. You have the ability to know where that balance is. Find that balance. Do not allow your anger and your frustration to overcome your relationship with your children. Fathers, be a good example. I can say I had a wonderful father. It was a great example of what it meant to walk as a believer. I never knew him as anything except a believer in Jesus Christ. But he had his days, I can tell you, in the past. And God worked on him. And he had anger issues that God had to work on. And he overcame throughout his lifetime. And he never allowed that to affect the way he disciplined us and the way he dealt with us. And he always worked on it so that it would not be he would not be a poor example to us in his relationship with other people. Father, you have a huge responsibility. Walk before the Lord. Walk by faith and not by sight. Allow your children to see how powerful it is to trust in the Lord your God all the days of your life. And when you're old, you'll not regret it. Listen, nobody ever on their deathbed said, I wish I'd have worked harder. I wish I'd have made more money. I wish I'd spent more time in recreation and things that I wanted to do. No, most people who have regrets say, I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. Do not allow that to be your regret. Go back. You know, whatever your situation is, if you've done some things that you're not proud of, go back and make it right with your family now before it's too late. Get it right. Let them know how much you love them and you cherish them. Because it's going to be gone. I can tell you, how many have seen that? I think it's a Subaru commercial where the guy is picking up something out of his vehicle and he turns around and his little daughter is standing there, and he picks something else up and he turns around and his teenage daughter is there, and then he picks something else up and his daughter is getting married. That's how fast it goes by. It really does. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. There's nothing more important than to lean on this scripture when it comes to your children. Cal Ripken Jr. is a baseball player. Many of you, if you know anything about baseball, you probably have heard of him. He was a fantastic baseball player. He actually broke Lou Gehrig's Ironman record of 2,131 consecutive games, playing in that many games without being out. He's a great player. But he also had a father who was a player. He played in the minor leagues, and he went on to coach in the major leagues. And during the time that that Cal Ripken was being honored for breaking Lou Gehrig's record, he gave his father a lot of credit for that. And then one day, his father was inducted into the Orioles Hall of Fame, and his father gave a speech, and then afterwards they asked Cal Ripken Jr. to come up. And he said that it was really hard. He wanted to give his father the honor, but he was very emotional. But he said, I told a story, and this is what he said. Because this is so difficult for me, I'm going to tell you a little story about my two children, Rachel, 6, and Ryan, 3. They had been bickering for weeks, and I explained how one day I heard Rachel taunt Ryan. She said this to Ryan, "You're just trying to be like Daddy." And he said, I paused for a few minutes, and then I looked at her, and I said, "Rachel, what's wrong with being like Daddy?" And then he looked directly at his dad. And after he finished telling the story, he looked right at his dad, and he said, "That's what I've tried to do all my life, just be like Daddy." Man, is that powerful. I hope that your children will try to be like Daddy. I've tried to be like my daddy because he set such a good example. Parents, you have a huge responsibility. You can impact your children's lives. But I'm telling you this. I don't care what the world says. Don't try to be your children's best friend. Be their parent. Be the adult. Rise up. There's going to be times when they're going to say, "I hate you." That's okay. Because they really don't. They're just mad. Be wise enough to recognize that there's times that you have to take a stand and say, "No, I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't care what everybody else allows. No, you're not doing this." That's the adult way of handling things. If you want to trace children that will make a difference in our society, do this. Love them unconditionally. Teach them truth constantly, and discipline them properly, and they'll be exactly what you want them to be. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.